All right, good morning. It's Monday, June 17th. I'm Kyle Almer with the Guru, Chris Bellina, and you are listening to The Blitz. We're just chugging along here, episode after episode, making sure that we're going to cover all the teams and all the impact of free agent moves and the draft.
Plugging right along.
Yeah, on every single team. We are almost done, actually. It's just after this, I guess we're just going to have to focus on all the news and whatever news there is.
Just coming up with some scenarios. We'll keep you updated with some fantasy stuff.
Absolutely.
All year round.
Yeah. We left off last time with the San Francisco 49ers, and wow, what a major blow to their offense losing Crabtree right away.
He was starting to show his why he was a first-round pick and how he could take over big games and big spots and be the number one guy.
It's just a shame because they went out and grabbed a complimentary wide receiver for him because, I mean, they're a good team. They don't really need another additional player to make them a more explosive, scary team. Crabtree fit that offense perfectly for what they needed him to do. Now to bring in Anquan Boldin, the 49er fan base had to be salivating, and then this happens.
And this is going to be a trickle-down effect.
Yeah.
It's going to hurt Colin Kaepernick.
Absolutely.
It's going to hurt Anquan Boldin. It's going to hurt Vernon Davis. I mean, this team as a whole, with all these players, you're looking at, it was becoming one of these offenses, like, well, who do we cover?
Yeah, it's amazing how fragile an offense can be in the NFL because of free agency and salary cap. There isn't a lot of wiggle room. If you lose one of these key players, it can cause major dynamic changes.
You lose a number one in anything, you can't just plug somebody in to do it. You know, running back, you lose your number one guy, although he's not getting the carries he's supposed to get, it still hurts an offense. Just look at Pittsburgh with Mendenhall last year. Just look at the Giants when they didn't have Bradshaw in there at 100%. When you lose your number, Jamal Charles when he went down. When you lose your number one in anything, it hurts your team. There's no other way to get around it, and it hurts the players' production around there. So, a lot of people say, "Oh, this is great. Crabtree's down. Let's say this is the third game of the season. I have Anquan Boldin." Well, that's not always the case,
right?
It's not always. Sometimes, like, crap. What happens is now Anquan Boldin really feels it, and a guy like Mario Manningham or AJ Jenkins is the one who steps up. You may think, oh, I have the number two guy now. He's the number one guy. Well, he's the number two guy for a reason.
Exactly.
Now they're gonna take this number two guy out with the number one corner.
Yeah, number one corner being covered over top by the safety, and he becomes a non-existent player now.
And there's a reason why Anquan Boldin has never been, other than 1 year, his rookie year, a number one wide receiver. He's a complimentary, productive, not overly great in fantasy football wide receiver. Now he doesn't have that Larry Fitzgerald or Torrey Smith to take the cover off the defense to where he opens up that middle of the field for him. That's gone.
Right.
Gone.
He's never had that blistering speed to get that separation. No. He's a physical guy. He's able to get in there and out muscle guys. But you're right. How is he going to do that now at this elevated age, let's just say? To be able to get in there and fight like he did when he was a rookie. I mean, he could get in with a rookie out of pure tenacity.
Anquan Boldin is someone who's always drafted higher than he should, has 3 to 5 good fantasy games a year.
Against my team, of course, every
year. Yeah, I know. He has junk the rest of the year. Junk. 4 catches, 40 yards. 5 catches, 60 yards. No touchdowns. So who is going to step up and become a fantasy option out of those wide receivers now that Crabtree's gone? And I say it's AJ Jenkins.
Really?
I put him now as their – when the dust settles, he's going to be their number three option. It's going to be Boldin and Davis and an A.J. Jenkins. I think he's better than Mario – he's going to be better than Mario Manningham. I just don't see Manningham having any fantasy value or any impact for that offense. Now, Colin Kaepernick, a lot of people are going to draft him high, and I get nervous when I see these guys come in. The NFL really hasn't seen that type of offensive player and all this. Because I think of one guy and one guy only, and that's Cordell Stewart. He had that great 1 year, and then the NFL caught up with him, and he couldn't adjust his game. Now, the difference between Cordell and a lot of these other guys, like RG3 and Kaepernick, is these guys can throw the ball.
Yeah. Yeah, RG3 and Wilson and Kaepernick, they got an arm, man.
They can throw the ball, and they're accurate.
Yeah.
Where Cordell wasn't. He was good on the run. So when he was forced to pass, he couldn't be a good quarterback. Did the NFL take the offseason to take away this type of offense, which if that happens, Kaepernick's not as valuable of a fantasy option as a lot of people are thinking he's going to be.
Right, so and again, how much is that Crabtree going to hurt him?
Well, factoring that, and that's a given. That's a given that that's going to be an issue.
He's got a new wide receiver. So you're telling me now
he's got 10 touchdowns.
Yes, now you're telling me your number one wide receiver is a new wide receiver on your team.
Yeah.
You've never worked with him before.
Well, to tell you though.
Vernon Davis.
I still think Vernon Davis is going to be big. Him and Colin Kaepernick were getting a nice chemistry towards the end of last year. Vernon Davis never really got with Alex Smith. And I started seeing some big plays out of Vernon Davis, which is really good. He's been underachieving his whole career. He had that one good year.
He's such a yo-yo. He's another guy. By yo-yo, I mean he has a great game and a bad game. Yeah. A great game and a bad game. Yep. And it's so hard as a dynasty owner to do anything with a player like that.
Yeah.
You know, you got him. You have him on your team, but you're like, oh, I got to play him. But you got to know that from 1 week, he'll be trailing by 1 point going into Monday Night Football, and he won't even get a sniff.
Yeah.
You know, and then he'll go off and explode on a week where you already had the game under wraps. So he's just a guy who's
frustrating. You know, he's a top 10. He goes a top 10 tight end. He'll go because, again, people are going to have short-term memories. They're going to remember what happened late in the season.
They're also going to look at end-of-the-stat memories where they just look at the end of the year and look at that stat and go, look at that. Look at how good he did last year.
Oh, exactly. So there's a lot of question marks on this. What looked to be a dominant offense to go with that dominant defense, losing that one guy is huge for fantasy, and it's going to have a ripple effect. Now, we didn't talk about their running backs. The logjam.
Yeah. You know, everybody's all excited about Marcus Lattimore, but then they preface it, well, not this year. Not this year. Yeah. Well, you know, he's going to be hurt this year. So, did they just completely waste their pick by taking a guy like that this year and hoping?
Well, they could afford to. They didn't waste. They had so many picks and really no holes to fill. It was worth taking the chance and just sitting on him for a couple of years. Even you could do it because Frank Gore's got a year or two left. Kendall Hunter is an excellent running back. Right. Michael James is an excellent running back.
Right. Everybody's so geeked about Marcus Lattimore, but have they completely forgotten that those other two running backs were also very good running backs?
And Frank Gore's a perennial goal line top running back.
When Lattimore comes in, and he is healthy next year, do you think LaMichael James and Kendall Hunter are just going to say, oh, here you go, take him, take all the carries now? Is he going to be able to, or is this going to become a running back by committee, which I really think it is in that situation? I don't think Harbaugh would have any problem making a running back by committee.
No, I think Gore will be eventually phased out.
Right, a couple years.
You know, maybe this may be the last year for him. He's getting older.
Mm-hmm.
He's getting to that age where the running backs start to deteriorate. He's had some injuries. I would absolutely be comfortable saying that this is Frank Gore's last year, and I'd be really careful with Frank Gore. Really careful where you draft him. He's at best going to split time, at best. He's not going to be the Frank Gore production you've seen in the past. You're going to see up to 15 carries a game from the guy. So I think you got to get Kendall Hunter and LaMichael James in there because they're just such explosive backs. I mean, Kendall Hunter, the full package, that guy. And with Colin Kaepernick's ability to run ball, you're not going to see Frank Gore getting the ball 20, 25 times anymore. He just can't do it.
Good point. That's an excellent point. It's going to be him running an awful lot. I mean, you got to keep in mind everybody's counting from a fantasy perspective of Kaepernick running the ball. What?
Yeah.
And they're right to count on that. Well, that means, you know, same deal. That means somebody else isn't going to be carrying
the ball. It's definitely going to be a running back situation to be careful. Someone's going to take Gore in the first four rounds, maybe in the first three rounds because it's Frank Gore. If I'm drafted, I'm looking at a guy like Kendall Hunter mid rounds and going to sit on it and hope Gore gets hurt or phased out. It could happen. I think Kendall Hunter has a really good very high upside. You're not going to see much out of Lattimore this year. I'd stay away from him unless you're in a keeper league or a dynasty league. And LaMichael James, again, he's a third option there. But, again, in a deep league, a redraft league, you know, he may not – or in a deep league, he may have some value, not so much in a redraft league unless you start seeing injuries.
You know, I think it's hilarious that this division used to be the laughing stock of the division. I mean, it was just a couple of years ago. A couple of years ago, this division was a joke. Whoever won this division, it didn't matter. They were going to get their butts whooped in the first round anyway. Yeah. Now, they're just pouring it on, and teams like Seattle now, they're bringing in Percy Harvin into the mix because they just need one more piece to get in there.
I just want to make one last point about the 49ers.
Move on
to Seattle. They are no longer undefeated with Super Bowls, and the Steelers still have six, and they only have five. Just wanted to throw that in there. Just in case any 49er fans, I'm a Steeler fan, everybody knows. The Ravens are their biggest rival. I actually rooted for the Ravens to win the Super Bowl because I wanted the 49ers to have a blemish on their Super Bowl record. No way I could sit there and look at them at 6-0 in Super Bowls. 5-1 rings a lot better than 6-0 for me. So it was a tough Super Bowl. Both options stunk, but I actually rooted for the Baltimore Ravens. Go figure. So Seattle, you were saying.
Oh, I was just saying this is a great division, obviously. A lot better than it used to be. Seattle fighting. Going to add that extra piece now, grabbing Percy Harvin.
If these quarterbacks continue to play well, it's a good division. If they regress, a la Cordell Stewart, it's going to be back to one of those so-so divisions. Seattle must be completely sold on Russell Wilson, and they have no reason not to be.
Right.
But remember, again, he started off a little rough last year because they let Matt Flynn go, who was the laughingstock in Oakland. He can't hit a receiver, from what I'm reading, if his life depended on it.
You know what? I kind of feel like an idiot about Russell Wilson because I seen this guy play in college. And when I saw him play, I thought, whew, man, this guy is he's a pro quarterback. He's really good. I mean, this guy can play. And then he fell so far in the NFL draft. And then I started to doubt myself. You know, I was like, well, maybe, you know, I don't know. Okay, you know, other guys make a lot of money making decisions about these kind of things. And then he gets in and he does great. You know, so I'm a guy who bypassed him on the rookie draft because I'm like, nah. And knowing in my heart and what I saw, I should have done something. And I didn't. Now I just kick myself.
Yeah, I mean, and we talked about him in the beginning of the year. Of all the rookie quarterbacks, he was the worst one of the starters. He took the longest to get acclimated.
That's still pretty good when you look at the other guys.
Well, right, but when he did, he wound up being one of the better ones because he won. This team is loaded, I think, with fantasy options. I like Russell Wilson. I'm not one of them. I think his game is complete. The guy could win. He makes smart decisions. He's got a good arm. And now he's got a lot more weapons. Getting Percy Harvin was huge because I think it's going to make Sidney Rice better. It's going to make Golden Tate better. He's going to be used in all different ways. Marshawn Lynch, I think Marshawn Lynch this year is a first-round running back.
Absolutely.
Maybe the top eight overall.
I don't disagree. He received one of the most – well, he was leading the league in yardage there for a while.
Yeah. I think and a lot of it to do is – you know, Turbin's really not an option. They don't split carries there. He's a workhorse.
Mm-hmm.
He's a beast.
Yeah, if he's playing, he plays. They don't give it to anybody else.
No, right. This is a guy, he's had a good fantasy career. He's not fantasy Hall of Fame worthy, but he's got a very good fantasy career because he's been productive when the years that he, even when he was in Buffalo, he had some really good years in there. Percy Harvin, again, I'm never a big fan of wide receivers changing teams. They always seem to have, I always look at, you know, the guy from Dallas.
Right, Alvin Harper. Yeah.
Alvin Harper disease. They go to a different team. Sidney Rice is part of that.
You know?
He hasn't really, you know.
They have done this once before from the same exact team, I'd like to point out.
Well, right.
That's kind of crazy.
Well, right. So, I mean, to me, they've got a lot of fantasy. When I say a lot of fantasy, you know, I see a lot of people drafted early from the Seattle Seahawks. Russell Wilson's going to go. He's going to be somebody starting quarterback. I really think I could see him, somebody taking him late. If not, if you're taking Roethlisberger or Rivers, like we talked about, Russell Wilson's your backup. You know, that type of guy. He's going to be going in the top 15 quarterbacks, whether it be as somebody's first backup going early or somebody's a late pick as a quarterback. He's going to go. He's going to get drafted pretty early. Marshawn Lynch, as we already talked about. Somebody's going to go with Percy Harvin based on name. Sidney Rice, because they think, oh, well, now Russell Wilson's there. Now Percy Harvin's there. It's going to open up things for Sidney Rice. So a lot of these brand names are going to go high. They all could flop. Other than Marshawn Lynch, they all could be a big disappointment. So tread lightly with some of these Seattle guys.
I'll tell you what, though, if Percy Harvin comes in and he bombs,
yeah,
I think the Seattle front office needs to just blacklist Minnesota.
Well, like,
we're not trading with this team because they obviously know way more than us about their players.
Well, right. It's like they want to get him back for the Steve Hutchinson deal.
Yeah,
Sidney Rice has not been that good.
No.
With Seattle,
he's been just.
Moderate.
Walking mash unit to yeah. You know, another guy who just can't seem to stay healthy. I don't know who knows somebody in between those offices, but maybe in those front offices they need to reevaluate some of these trades. It's kind of funny to me. I don't know.
Well, right. And you think about it, Sidney Rice has only had one good year.
Yeah, in Minnesota with Brett Favre.
But other than that, he's been zero for fantasy and in NFL.
Yeah, and speaking of zeros, what happened to Zach Miller? He gets traded from Oakland, he goes over to Seattle, and completely falls off the edge of the earth.
Yeah.
I don't understand there. I mean, is there a tight end option at all in this team that you'd consider?
They've never really utilized the tight end. Well, let me look at it this way. I mean, is it really part of Pete Carroll's offense? Was it ever at USC?
He had Fred Davis in USC.
Yeah, but, you know, I don't know. I would stay away from that combo, McCoy and Zach Miller. Ultimately, someone's going to draft them late as a second tight end. Me, I would look for other options there. But, I mean, this is a team, again, Russell Wilson's going to go pretty high. Marshawn Lynch, he's a stud running back, and he's got some tread on his tires. No real backup to push him for carries. And you're going to see some high draft picks. This is a team filled with talent. Tread lightly. Be careful, because some of these guys could be a bust.
Absolutely. Again, there's risk, always. Tampa Bay. They have that great running game down there with Doug Martin. And then they had a nice signing with Vincent Jackson, which, again, we were all concerned about that last year. And
yeah.
He started off slow. He did. He had lots of problems. Then he kind of turned it on. Do you think they make any kind of improvements this year?
Well, they're going to have Doug Martin a second year,
mm-hmm.
which is good. And he was definitely a stud last year. They really didn't address the offense too much. I mean, they brought in Kevin Ogletree, who was a zero.
Mm-hmm.
Quan Underwood, I mean, come on.
Yeah, they're talking about signing Mike Williams to an extension even, and he hasn't really...
No, he had that one good year, and that's it. The draft, I mean, they didn't really go too crazy on offense. They traded LeGarrette Blount. I don't see where they've improved on offense. I think they improved as a team with some of their players, Deshaun Golson and Revis. But overall, I mean, as far as fantasy... You're going to get Vincent Jackson going early, probably in the first two rounds. You're going to get Doug Martin, possibly in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't tell anyone they're crazy for going with Doug Martin in the first round because he's exclusive. Other than that, I mean, there's no real option at tight end. I wouldn't touch Josh Freeman with a 10-foot pole, but Vincent Jackson is going to be pretty productive. So there's really only two fantasy options with this team, Doug Martin and Vincent Jackson.
I would describe their fantasy potential as underwhelming.
Yeah,
that's
boring.
What I would say. Boring is a good word. Yeah,
yeah.
I would look at Doug Martin.
Well,
then,
I'm an else. Yeah,
yeah. And I would not even. Vincent Jackson would have to be a who's left out on the open market before I'd even pick him up type player.
Yeah, but he'll go quick because if you look at his end of the year numbers, he's gonna be somebody's
again,
number one or two.
I'm gonna have to go in round seven and look around and go, is Vincent Jackson out there? Okay, maybe I'll take him. But he won't be. But he won't be. Exactly. Somebody will take him. So,
again, brand name, productive year last year, no real other option there. I mean, he is a good wide receiver, not a fragile guy, but it's funny. He was always hurt in San Diego. He goes to Tampa, and he played a full year without getting hurt.
So there isn't really much to say about these guys then, is there? It's just really kind of a quick review.
I'm going to throw this one out there.
Okay.
Dynasty leagues or rookie where you could keep rookies. Wouldn't hurt to pick up Mike Glennon. He may push Josh Freeman.
Hmm.
So,
yeah.
I mean, why not? If you're in a dynasty league like we're in, Kyle, and you got second or third round pick, and you're like, if I take a tight end, you may want to look at Mike Glennon and sit and bank him. Hope the wheels fall off Freeman because I've heard a lot of good things.
Yeah, they haven't, and they really haven't hidden the fact that they're not too satisfied with Freeman either.
Well, it's sad because his rookie year, he looked really good.
Yeah,
and you thought he was going to take that next step the next year, and it just never happened. It didn't happen. I mean, he didn't have a lot of weapons around him, but, he does make some goofy plays and throws a lot of interceptions, and bad decisions, and that's not good when you're a quarterback. Simple as that.
Yeah, and then they take a quarter, and then they take another quarterback. So it's kind of like, ooh. So you talk about him all year as though you're not really the biggest fan of him as your starting quarterback, and then you go and get a quarterback in the draft, and it's like, oh, wow,
yeah.
that's not good. You know, I mean, I know he wasn't like a first round pick or anything, but still, it's not
right.
When somebody is kind of on shaky ground to begin with, and then you do something like that. It kind of, I mean, it's not as big of a scream as the New York Jets, obviously. But
I know
when they go out and get Geno Smith, but it's still, I wouldn't be happy if I were Josh Freeman. That's all I could say on that situation.
Well, exactly.
So, you can follow us on Twitter at the Fantasy Blitz. Again, I've been commenting from time to time, putting up some information that's actual facts, not just rumors here and there. Facts about, Ahmad Bradshaw getting a visit in the Colts, the fact that now he is signed with the Colts, Tim Tebow. I really didn't want to post that, but it is relevant news, so I did it. But if you have any questions, please ask us on there. We'll get back with you right away, or as fast as right away as you can. How about that? For Chris Bellina, I'm Kyle Almo. This has been The Blitz, guys, and thanks for listening.
Have a good one.